And welcome again to Brew Crew Online. I'm Benjamin Orr.
And I'm Colin Bennett.
And unfortunately, again last night, the Brewers fell victim to another loss. They sent Kyle Loesch to the mound last night against his old team in the St. Louis Cardinals, and Loesch did really well. 7 innings, only 2 runs allowed, I believe 6 hits, struck out 2, but I mean, that's a game Kyle Loesch would have won probably any other day of the week.
Yeah, you would think. Nothing's guaranteed against the Cardinals, unfortunately, as much as we would like it to be. But, yeah, no, he pitched a solid game, and I mean, he did pretty much exactly what we brought him here to do, you know? Just pitch solid outings and give your team a chance to win, and he did, and unfortunately the offense didn't pick up the slack, which has kind of been a rule in April so far. You know, pitching will hang in for a while, and then once it gives way, the offense can't pick up the slack, and unfortunately that happens more often than not to this team.
Yeah, and it's just 2 hits. Aoki had a hit, and then Segura had a hit later off of Mitchell Boggs. So really, through 8 innings, the Brewers only had 1 hit. Aoki also did get walked, so Aoki and Segura were the only 2 base runners for the team. Braun 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Weeks 0 for 4 with 2 strikeouts. Carlos Gomez 0 for 3 with 2 strikeouts. It's just, Shelby Miller, I have to admit, looked really good.
Yeah. He really did. Which, again, I mean, the Cardinals are a team that's an embarrassment of riches for both pitching and offense. So,
yeah, because, I mean, you look at basically the NL Central, you look at the Reds, and then you look at the Cardinals, and you're going up and down in this Cardinals lineup, and you're like, this really isn't a lineup that's easy to pitch to. I mean, back-to-back-to-back, you have Holiday, Craig, and Beltran and Molina. You throw Freeze in there, you throw John Jay in there. It's just, that is a really tough lineup to face. And, I mean, kudos to Kyle Loesch for doing pretty well against it. They have a really good pitching staff, even despite losing Loesch and Chris Carpenter for probably the season and maybe his career. Have a really good bullpen, even with Jason Mott on the DL. So, right. I mean, I'm not trying to sing the Cardinals' praises here because I can't stand the Cardinals. I'll admit that now. But, I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due, and that's something that they really have expanded upon sort of the year before their World Series win and ever really since then. They've really become a team that's rebounded well from really huge losses. When Wainwright went down, when they lost Albert Pujols, and now with Carpenter gone and Loesch gone, they're still doing really well.
Yeah, and that's one of the, I guess you can say one of the reasons we don't like the Cardinals so much is that they really do have that next man up kind of mentality where it doesn't matter who's on the roster. You know, when you get there, you know, when you put on that Cardinals uniform, that you are there to basically play lights out. And for the most part, I mean, that team does fire on all cylinders throughout the entire organization, and that's really difficult to accomplish, and frankly, I don't know how they do it, but you're right, it doesn't seem to matter who it is in the lineup, in the bullpen, or in the starting rotation, that team is going to be in that game, and that's, as much as I hate saying it, it is, it's fascinating to see, really.
Yeah, for a team to really be so consistent in their play, regardless of, like you said, who's in the lineup and who's in the rotation, it's just, they're always very consistent with what they do. They're always going to be a threat in the Central. And, you know, that's something that the Brewers really have had struggles with. And it's not so much their fault as it is to injuries. Obviously, losing Matt Gamble again for another year, losing Corey Hart till the end of May, that's something that really has that hasn't really helped the Brewers at all. But, I mean, you look at last night's game, you only get 2 hits. I mean, that obviously can't be blamed on injuries. That's, you know, an entire team effort doing that. And you have Braun, Weeks, and Luke Roy in this lineup that didn't do anything. So,
right.
Yeah,
well, weeks for all his hot starts. You know, for as good as he played through basically the beginning of the Diamondbacks series, his last 22 at bats, 10 of them are strikeouts, and he only has what, one hit, two hits.
Welcome back, Ricky Weeks.
One hit. Yeah, and it, you know, two walks, which is always nice to see. But yeah, in his last week, his on-base percentage is 125. His average is .045. It's that's too low.
Yeah.
You know.
And he only has one hit in those 22 at-bats. I mean, that's just...
Right.
I mean, obviously guys got on cold streaks, but it's freaking April. The season just started.
Right.
I mean, there are guys that are notorious slow starters, and that's what everybody had feared about with Aramis Ramirez, who, you know, obviously can't be here to prove that now because he's hurt. But... come on, this isn't a time where because if the Brewers keep losing, obviously it's still early enough in the season that we shouldn't be that concerned. But right. 2-7, I mean, you don't want to start keep piling on the losses because you're just going to fall into this hole in the NL Central, and the Astros aren't there to be the seller anymore.
Yeah. No, it's and like I told you earlier, I'm trying to figure out exactly how much April matters in the grand scheme of things. Most people will probably concede that April doesn't mean much more outside of getting into a rhythm and gaining momentum. But right now, the Brewers have very little of either. They have people that are in, you know, a really good rhythm right now. Marichka Aoki, Gene Segura, Lucroy's starting to come around a little bit more now in this middle part of the month. Gineski Betancourt, despite all odds, has been doing pretty well, considering he has to play every position.
pretty much.
Yeah, and I mean, I do want to say for all the frustration that Gineski Betancourt has given me throughout his time with being a Brewer, hard to consider a better, like, fill-in player right now than Uni. And he's been fighting a losing battle in terms of where he has to play in the positions the team has to put him in because of injury, and he's been performing pretty well, I think.
Yeah, you know, we all ragged on him. I mean, every Brewers fan that I know of ragged on Betancourt. And now he's just looking back and goes, uh-huh, yeah, I told you.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, he's probably past his prime in baseball years. I mean, he's only 31, but he's not somebody that's going to instantly start hitting, like, you know, Ryan Braun. It's just not going to happen. But, I mean, for a fill-in player, he's doing really well, like you said. And, honestly, if we didn't have him, if we didn't sign him, you know, it would have been like, now what does the team do? Because they only have Alex Gonzalez, and he just got hurt last night. Fortunately, the x-rays came back and were negative. But Betancourt's kind of like that stopgap right now, because if we don't have him, and if we didn't sign him back in March, we'd be hurting a lot more.
Right. Oh, I'm so mad, by the way, that I wasn't around Twitter when Alex Gonzalez got hit in the hand. The Tony La Russa jokes. It must have just been off the charts.
They were.
I bet every Brewer fan knows now how many bones are in the human hand. So.
Oh, God. That is one man I don't miss from baseball.
Well, he's still in baseball, technically, but.
Yeah. This is totally off topic. I don't know why it's reminding me of Tony Plush, but if you follow him on Twitter at all, it's just hilarious. I mean, I don't. I just happened to see him the other day. Somebody retweeted him.
And I followed him as soon as I figured out where he was.
Well, no, I do follow him. What am I thinking? I do follow him.
Yep.
And He's playing in Japan now, and it's hilarious, the things he tweets. I forget what he says now, instead of gotta go. It's just, he says something in Japanese, and it just it's hilarious. I mean, if you don't follow him already, you people need to follow him, because he's pretty funny.
Yeah, and him playing in Japan, it's just a perfect match for him. I mean, everything's kind of weird there, so...
Yeah, no, they get Tony Plush, so, I mean, that's going to be something. I wonder if he still does the tea thing.
I don't know if it works as well in Japan. I'll check up on it, though, for you. I have the day off. I now have a project.
We'll need to see an article about that later.
Yeah.
But getting back to the Brewers, though, it's just, you know, we all complained and groaned when we saw that Bettencourt's coming back. Some of us scratched our heads, but were a little bit happy when we saw Alex Gonzalez was coming back, because we thought he was just going to back up Gene Segura. But now with Bianchi out, Green out, Hart out, Ramirez out, Gamble gone for the year, the Brewers are really kind of in this ground that they don't have anybody else to fall back on. The only person that they can fall back on is possibly Scooter Gennett if they call him up. Maybe Josh Prince if they put him in the infield at some point. But there's really nobody else the Brewers can use right now unless they were to sign somebody. And even then, who's even out there?
Right. The market's a little thin for what they need. And Josh Prince, I mean, Josh Prince can play third, but definitely nothing else. Really slated for more center field than anything else, but he can play third. I saw him play third when he played the Diamondbacks on Sunday. A lot of switching had to go on there because Gene Segura got a little roughed up sliding into second to break up a double play. But he played third pretty well, wasn't mad about it. I like him better in the outfield. He's obviously too big to really play anywhere else besides third base or outfield. Maybe first if we needed him to, but he doesn't have the experience. And that's kind of where we run into the issue, where a first base isn't the type of position where you need a lot of practice if you're a professional ball player to get good at it. I mean, look at Corey Hart. He played, you know, a handful of games in the minor leagues and did a fantastic job last year at first. So it's, first base isn't as concerning as, you know, you have to think in this position, you don't really have, outside of Bettencourt, you don't have a backup that can profile at other positions if you also need someone at first backing up that position. And like you said, we have Jeff Bianchi out, Matt Gamble out, Taylor Green out. It's that causes a serious problem because it limits your bench options, obviously limits your defensive substitution options. We can really only sub in someone for the outfield, which, I don't know, maybe if Carlos Gomez is having a bad day, but other than that, I mean, what do you do there? So I don't think a lot of people are considering the injuries that the Brewers have had to be that serious to play because they've all been bench players. But really, I mean, that throws a wrench in your entire game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with Blake Lively coming up, that helps a little bit at first because then you can put him at first and then shift Bettencourt and Gonzalez between third, short, and first if need be. And, you know, it doesn't exactly tax them enough to have to keep going back and forth. And
right.
At that point, you can even
can play first as well.
Yeah, and even at that point, you can put one of them on the bench to get some rest. You know,
right?
So they need some rest, and then say Segura needs a day off, then you put one of them at second, or put one of them at short if Ricky Weekhold needs a day off as well. So I mean, yeah, they're not starters that got hurt. I mean, aside from Corey Hart and Aramis Ramirez, but it still really hurts, like you said. It throws a huge wrench into what the Brewers can do, and it hurts their depth because they don't have anybody to fall back on at this point. Because anybody else is so light years away from really being up here in a permanent spot. I mean, we don't want to rush anybody up. I mean, they thought about doing that with Hunter Morris. They decided against it. They did that last year with Tyler Thornburg, and it worked out sort of okay, but he's back in AAA. it's just not something you want to exactly do. I don't see tapping into the minors when it's unnecessary as an option. If it means that we're going to lose a few more games, I'd rather do that than have to rush up somebody and possibly just get them out of the mindset of being prepared to play in the major leagues. Because playing AAA, that builds you up because you're playing against guys who have played in the major leagues. You get that confidence and you're falling up there. I mean, obviously, I mean, I wouldn't know because I'm not a Major League Baseball player. But it just seems to me that rushing people up just doesn't seem like the best option the Brewers could go with.
No, in this situation, and I know that it's easy for us as fans. I've seen thousands, literally thousands, of fire Ron Renneke tweets and Facebook posts and all sorts of things. And it's very easy to say that when you look at what's happening. And, you know, a manager for a winning team will never get credit for winning, and will obviously never get blamed for the things that go wrong. But, I mean, you look at the cards that he has in his hand right now, and in terms of, again, like last year, we had the same discussion several times. I mean, you talk about a crappy hand. He's getting a lot of it right now. And it is April, and so now is the time where you're going to try out everything you can to start getting a rhythm going. And when one of your key players is getting injured essentially every other day, and you have virtually no bench, which is also a little bit his fault, too, why we're carrying 13 pitchers, but... I mean, when you look at that bench and you look at, you know, the pitching situation that we have, it's not surprising that April is turning out this way. And again, it is only 9 games with 1 postponed because of rain, which probably will end up doing more help than harm to them. So,
yeah, and I just happened to see on Twitter, just posted a few minutes ago, Tom Hodricourt, beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, just posted that there's a few changes in the Brewers lineup today against the Cardinals. Schaefer's going to be in at center field. Lely's going to be in at first. Maldonado will be behind the plate, and Bencourt will be at third base. So, which I think is a little interesting that Maldonado is catching for Gallardo, but you know, you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did you say Schaefer in left or center?
Center.
Center. Okay.
But I mean,
interesting. Yeah. No, well, that brings up something we wanted to talk about anyways. And that is discussing, you know, how pleasantly surprised we've been with Logan Schaefer especially, Chris Davis, Maldonado, Gene Segura, all these kind of younger guys and guys that need to prove themselves. And we'll go ahead and throw Aoki in there, too, because he was a guy I think that people were wondering about if he was going to be able to come back with the same kind of flair this year as he did last year.
Yeah, I mean, especially out of Aoki and Segura, it's really been a pleasant surprise to see what they've been able to do, especially into this year. I mean, you have Aoki, who's virtually getting on base in every game. I think he's gotten a hit in every game except for one, that was against the Rockies. You have Segura, who's just, not only is he flashing the leather at short, but I mean, he's getting on base, you know, he's hitting RBIs.
Any way he can, he's getting on base. It's very impressive.
Yeah. You know, even Logan Schaefer, who was thought to at least compete for the center fielding job but kind of lost it once the Brewers extended Gomez, has been doing really well. Like you were talking about before here, that really nice throw in Sunday's game from center field against the
Diamondbacks. As close to a perfect throw you could get in that situation for a double play throw. I mean, it's the type of throw that made Bronze Glove famous, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Schaefer is in, you know, a hard place to be because he's not going to see much starting time. But, you know, if he can do that, you know, from the bench or as an every other day guy, possibly, if an injury occurs or a guy gets into a slump, I mean, that's going to be something that the Brewers are going to think is huge for him.
Right. And how about Josh Prince's first hit that Sunday, too?
Yeah.
Just smashing that ground rule double for an RBI right away. That's a way to start your professional career.
Yeah, and I mean, he nearly started, you know, a Brewers rally that ended up actually tying the game that made it go to extra innings. I mean, that was pretty impressive from him. You know, he leads off that inning, Aoki hits him in, stuff like that.
And unfortunately, just, we went the next inning and left three men on base, but...
Details.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's totally the pitching's fault when you leave 14 men on base in a one-run game, but...
Oh, yeah, you know. What are they thinking? And even Maldonado, who went 3-for-5 in the first game against the Cubs in the series with a double, three RBIs. I mean, that double is what scored those RBIs, and that was a huge thing because, you know, we were getting to Cubs pitching early in that game, and Maldonado just kind of opened the floodgates with that hit. And, you know, he did really well last year as a backup for Luke Croy. Filled in for him when Luke Croy was on the DL, and he really impressed me. As I think he did with a lot of other Brewers fans. He's definitely earned his spot on this roster. And I don't think it's going to be a situation, and no discredit to George Gutierrez here, but it's not going to be a situation to where if we put it in Maldonado that we're going to exactly say it's going to be a bad day behind the plate. Maldonado is definitely somebody that the Brewers, if they were to lose Luke Croy again to injury, you know, God forbid that happened, because we don't want to see that happen. But, you know, we wouldn't be complaining if Maldonado was the catcher for a few days.
Right. No, he's got a lot of confidence. He's a very athletic catcher. His arm could use a little bit of work, but then again, so could Luke Roy's. So I'm not thoroughly concerned about it. And, he's starting to put it together at the plate, too, which is nice. Luke Roy, too, is starting to put it together again. Had a bit of a slow start, outside of some excellent sack fly work. Luke Roy hasn't been the offensive power we hoped, but they're starting to put it together. And there's not a battery that we could put out there in terms of pitcher and catcher combos that I wouldn't feel thoroughly confident in, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, and the younger part of this team really is, you know, kind of pulling their weight. They're being really impressive with what they've been able to do. And, like, you talk about Aoki. Yeah, he's, I think, 30, 31. But he's obviously new to America. This is always his second year over here. And he's done really well. I mean, he was in early contention last season for the Rookie of the Year. Kind of fell out of that when Wade Miley and Bryce Harper took over. But, no, it's just, this is a team that, you know, a few years down the road, maybe Schaefer and Prince might be household names. I don't know. Oki's still going to be there. Segura is going to be a huge part of this infield if he can really, you know, carry this consistency through the rest of the season and even into next year. And then Maldonado can be really good because he's versatile at first and catcher. I'm really impressed with what this team is doing, you know, because we always talk about how they never get necessarily the best first-round draft picks, but then again, you don't need to, because you look at guys like Yovani Gallardo and Tyler Thornburg, who weren't picked first round, and look how well they've done so far. So, I mean, yeah, it might be a little rough at some times, but the Brewers do have fallback options. It's just having all placed at once, because while our fallback options are doing good, they're outfielders, but we need infielders. So, I mean, you have kind of this effect that, okay, these guys can do really well, we just have nowhere to play them. So, it's hard. I mean, you could probably stick a guy in at first if need be, but, you know, I like these guys where they are positioned to play. And I just don't feel like transitioning them to all these different places is really going to help. Unless they have struggles in the outfield like Corey Hart did, I just don't know if transitioning them to infield positions is really going to be the best thing.
No, and I think we have enough. I mean, obviously, Braun had his neck spasms. He gave opportunities for some of these guys early on. Gomez needs a break every now and again. Aoki, although I wouldn't advise a break for him.
Yeah.
At any point, the way he's hitting right now. I'm looking at Aoki's last week stats right now, and it's almost unbelievable. But, you know, I mean, he is going to need a break eventually, and Chris Davis is a guy that could easily profile in right field as well as left. The way Schaefer played left field, I thought was beautiful, considering he didn't have much experience in Miller Park. And the corners in Miller Park get a little bit tricky, but he played them really well. So I wouldn't have a problem with him there. Josh Prince, speed-wise, I'm not sold really on him in terms of his speed in the outfield, but obviously he's going to get opportunities too. So it's not the end of the world if these guys don't get legitimate service time this year. But I mean, I'm very happy with what they're doing now. It's going to be interesting once we get guys like Green and Bianchi back. You know, what happens to some of these guys? More likely than not, by that time, we'll be carrying less than 13 pitchers. I don't see us doing that for the entire season. But then again, stranger things have happened, so.
Yeah, I mean, they've actually transitioned the roster now. I think they actually fixed that with Blake Lively coming up. I think they have 13 position players and 12 pitchers now. But, that can change once Narvison comes back, what they do there. But, obviously this season isn't going to make or break any of their seasons. They still have a long time to go in Major League Baseball. But, I mean, we obviously like to see them, play. And if the Brewers, obviously, September is 5 months away, and that's something I don't want to think about because that means baseball's ending. But, once September eventually comes around, I mean, obviously these guys are going to get more playing time if the Brewers aren't in it. If the Brewers are in it or making a run, I don't think we'll see them as much. But if the Brewers are in a position that, they're 10, 15 games back starting September 1st and it just doesn't look positive, then yeah, I think you give these guys a little bit more time to start playing. But, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and one of the things I wanted to bring into this, to kind of siphon into this discussion is... just looking at the games, for the most part, we were talking about, giving guys a shot to play. I think when you're talking about the bullpen, which we're going to have to talk about eventually anyways.
Yes.
You look at the way that the season began, and when those relievers got into a tough spot, I mean, Axford giving up those home runs, but then he'd leave them in for the rest of the inning, and they would end up pretty much locking it down after, one or two mistake pitches. And in my understanding, there's been two or three games where the Brewers have just not shown up to play. But other than that, I mean, we haven't been out of a lot of games, There was the one game we lost by 7 runs against the Diamondbacks. I think that was Saturday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then... that was really... That was about it. The only game where I felt like we weren't in it, the whole way. So I'm not sure if I buy into the fact. I know they're looking at more bullpen options now. You had mentioned there were whispers of a K-Rod reunion coming up.
When I heard that, I just started seeing red. I just wanted to calm down. My vision just blurred, and I think that's what they call PTSD from
right.
Last season. Not that that's actual. I'm not making an actual joke about that. I don't mean to offend any people that have that. I don't mean to offend people, but. I mean, I think watching the Brewers bullpen last year kind of gave all of us a little bit of that.
Right. Yeah, it's quite a shock. But, really, what I'm seeing from the bullpen, and forgive me because it's going to sound like I'm an apologist, but it's just the way I tend to think more contextually when I think about baseball. You look at the way that the Diamondbacks started out and they were really hot. Look at the way that the Rockies started out, and they started the season with us, and they started on a tear, that's for sure. I'm not sure if this is really a bullpen issue, or if it's an issue of a hitter capitalizing on a few mistake pitches. And anyone that's out there that thinks that you can avoid making mistake pitches is kidding themselves, really. And I mean, I know Axford in the Cubs game, had two walks before he gave up, you know, some monster hits. That's gonna happen to everybody. Unfortunately, it seems to happen to Axford more than anyone else. But, you know, for the most part, letting these guys get out of these jams is probably gonna do more for you come June, July, August, than pulling them early in April is ever going to help.
Yeah, because we saw last year, and I mean, obviously a lot of this is overreaction because, like you said, it's only been 9 games so far for the Brewers, including a rainout. So all the fire Ron Henneke and, you know, get rid of John Axford talk is just absolute hogwash, really, in my opinion. We saw last year, you know, the Brewers, they played around with Axford after he started to struggle. They had him pitch multiple innings. They had him pitch in the sixth. They had him pitch all over, really. I mean, I think the only thing he didn't do was start, and that really helped him. He ended up getting 15 saves in a row. I'm not saying it's going to happen again, but I'm not saying it can't.
Right.
It's just one of those scenarios that, obviously, if it's going to happen at some point, I'd rather have it happen now than have it happen in July or August when we're trying to make a run, if we get to that point, or in September. This is something that really, it happens to every pitcher. And you're fooling yourself if you're saying it doesn't. You know, Clayton Kershaw aside, this happens to people. I was making a joke because of how awesome he is.
Right.
how much I regret not drafting him. No, but I mean,
who did get Kershaw?
I have no idea. But, yeah, it's just one of those things that, yeah, Axford, he doesn't set himself up with scenarios. It just kind of happens. Obviously, you can argue with me with this, and I will agree, honestly, with an opposing opinion on this in the Cubs game where he walked two people and gave up a hit and gave up 3 runs and ended up giving the Cubs a 6-3 lead in the eighth. Yeah, that's questionable both on Axford's part and Renicki's part for putting him in when he knew Axford isn't in the mentality to pitch right now. But Axford will bounce back from this. He is our closer, really, and this is going to sound stupid or kind of cliche, until he's not. I mean, he's literally a closer until he's not.
Right.
And I don't believe Axford's going to pitch himself out of a closer job because he's going to struggle, but every pitcher struggles. And we see that he can rebound. He has, what, like almost 80-some saves in the past 2 seasons combined? He's not a bad closer. He's a guy that, like you said, runs into accidents a little more often than not, but he can rebound from it, and when he can, he's electric.
Yeah, and you take a look at the active leaders in saves sometime, and look at everyone that's over 100 saves. John Axford is up there, and he's up there faster than all but 2 pitchers. So obviously he's got something. He's got a great mix of pitches. His release points are a little off right now. His velocity is wildly inconsistent, which is a little concerning. And again, we talked about it last week. Some of it might be coming from, you know, coming off the World Baseball Classic, where these pitchers aren't necessarily going to pitch in the same scenarios that they're used to. And that does have an effect, but I think for the most part, if you take a look at, say, leverage statistics, you know, what the leverage of a situation that a pitcher is in, a high leverage being, you know, a close game, tight situation, and low leverage being, you know, you're up by 4 or 5 runs and you have no one on base when you come in. It generally bears itself out that, you know, good closers and good pitchers pitch well in high leverage situations, but I don't think it's necessarily indicative of the type of pitcher that you are overall, because, I mean, the situations can change drastically, you know, over time. And what might be a high leverage situation in one game might not necessarily be the same level of leverage in another. But he's, you know, maybe pitching him in lower leverage situations for a little while might be better for him. And multiple innings would probably be nice so that he can think more in terms of a lineup. If he's going, you know, two innings, he's going to face a minimum of six batters. And that's probably going to do him a little more good in terms of how he's going to attack a team as a whole instead of attacking a situation, which is essentially what you're asking a pitcher to do during a save.
Yeah, and it's something that really the Brewers need to work with right now, because obviously Henderson is very capable of taking a closer role. So with him there, don't worry about the closer role right now. You have to worry about getting this bullpen. And even it's not even the bullpen. It's just really John Axford back on track. I mean, Gorzolani's pitching well. Mike Gonzalez is pitching well. Bert Bayenhoff had a few hiccups here and there. Alfredo Figueroa is pitching well. Brandon Kinsler's kind of so-so. But, I mean, this isn't the same, you know, everybody's bad bullpen that we had last year. These are better players that are learning how to mesh with each other. And I just don't buy that people are saying, oh, we need bullpen help. No, we don't need bullpen help. We just need to have these guys work through these scenarios. Maybe, like you said, have Axford pitch two innings, pitch to the minimum of six batters. That way he's attacking, you know, lineups instead of, like you said, individual batters. He's getting on the focus that, hey, I have to get these guys out and not just focus on, you know, oh, I'm facing, you know, say we're playing the Braves. You know, I have to worry about getting Justin Upton out and BJ Upton out and Jason Hayward out. No, you don't focus on that. You focus on the team as a whole. That they're just other batters you have to strike out or get grounds out or fly outs or whatever. You can't just focus on that because when you start thinking about it, you've already defeated yourself.
Yeah, and you have to think, too, that at some point we have to start asking, you know, the offense to pick up in these situations, too. You look at two games in a row on the 7th and 8th, we scored 7 runs each time, you know, with double-digit hits. There have been a lot of games this season already where we've been hitting the ball really well and then suddenly can't move guys over because, you know, we have people like, well, I hate to keep piling on, but Ricky Weeks coming in and striking out with men on base. And, you know, even Ryan Braun has had trouble this year. And it's... Something just broke in my house.
that's not good.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, at some point you have to start putting some of the onus on this Brewers offense as well, because you know a poor pitching performance is one thing, you know, but a poor pitching performance with an offense that's not going to move guys across the plate is more troubling. And that's what's happening right now. I mean, two hits against the Cardinals and, you know, three runs against the Cubs in Wrigley with the wind blowing out. These aren't situations where this should happen. You can't tell me that we can get routinely bested by the Cubs in a pitching situation like that. You know what I mean?
And what really frustrates me more than anything is not just that we only got two hits. Literally, Shelby Miller held the Brewers to one hit through 7 innings, and then Mitchell Boggs came in the 9th and gave up another hit. It's the fact that Mitchell Boggs walked one player, and that was the only walk allowed from the Cardinals.
Right.
Miller didn't walk anybody. Trevor Rosenthal didn't walk anybody. The Brewers didn't walk anybody, but, you know, that's something else. But, no, it's just... I don't know, with patience at the plate, that's just not there. I mean, Ricky Weeks, 17 pitches in 4 at-bats.
Right.
Luke Corey, 23 pitches in 3 at-bats. So, I mean, you see there's a little bit of a difference there. Yasky Betancourt, 12 pitches in 3 at-bats. So, I mean...
That's pretty common for Betancourt. I've never seen... When it comes to Betancourt, there hasn't been a first pitch that he didn't love.
True. I mean... It could be Matt Holliday and see 6 pitches and 3 at-bats.
right.
But it's just... And it's not, I mean, it's just not the hits, but not even getting walked, not even fighting for those, you know, getting trying to get ahead of the pitcher. I just, and I'm not saying the team isn't doing this, but it's just kind of frustrating when you just can't get runners on, and when you do, you either strand them or you're hitting double plays.
Right. And I think a lot of that is, you know, like we're alluding to basically the entire time, is discipline, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the difference between, even if that first pitch is a strike, you know, if you can identify that first pitch and take it, you're setting yourself up to see more pitches because you know what he has now. You know what I mean? There are only so many ways you're going to set up a first pitch. And I think a little bit more discipline, being willing to take a few more pitches, is going to do a world of difference, because I saw, you know, and I was lucky enough, I got to go to the games against the Diamondbacks on both Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, I saw that the batters that are hitting better are the ones that are taking that first pitch, at least in terms of the Brewers. And you look at, you know, Ricky Weeks comes up with a chance with two guys on, and he strikes out in four pitches. That's not the way you want to go about a game ever, essentially. But especially when you're talking about later innings with a chance to win the game. I mean, you have to be disciplined. And at the end of the day, you know, you need base runners before you need anything else. You're not going to hit a home run every time you're up to the plate, so you have to at least extend the at-bat as much as possible. Because not only does that help you out in terms of getting a good pitch, but you're adding to that pitcher's pitch count. You're adding to, you know, kind of breaking down his composure a little more. If he's going to go, you know, to a full count and then give up a walk, that's a demoralizing thing for a pitcher. And it's going to shorten his game, whether you believe it or not is up to you, but it's going to shorten his outing. And that's important for you too, is to get that pitcher out of rhythm and to get that bullpen out of rhythm.
Yeah.
And just aren't doing it.
Yeah, because, I mean, even if you strike out, at least make the pitcher work for the strikeout. Foul off three or four pitches, you know? Try to get another pitch or two for a ball. Going up and striking out on three pitches on an 0-2 count is just kind of flat out uncomfortable. I mean, obviously, like you said, we're fans. You know, it's a lot easier for us to say this. But it's just, when you go up with the mentality and swinging at anything, you're going to need some help. It's just...
Right.
I just don't get the mentality of just swing at first pitch. I mean, I just never got that. I mean, unless it looks really, really good, just don't swing at the first pitch, especially
right.
if you haven't seen the pitcher before.
Right. And, I mean, if he's going to give you, like, say, a slow fastball middle in, yeah, you got to take that. But, I mean, for the most part, you have to be willing to extend that at bat. And like Lucroy is one of the, in terms of players I've actually, you know, I've gotten a lot of a chance to see, one of the best two strike approaches I've seen in a while. But I mean, there aren't a lot of people who are going to be able to pick that up the same. If we had Braun and Ramirez both at 100%, we're talking about a different story in the lineup. But right now, I think you have players that are trying to push this offense faster than it can move, which is going to create a lack of discipline, which is going to get you more strikeouts and more left on base.
Speaking of which, the Brewers just announced their lineup for today against the Cardinals. Leading off is going to be Aoki in right field, Segura at short, Ryan Braun in left, Ricky Weeks at second, Logan Schaefer at center, Martin Maldonado at catcher, Inesky Betancourt at third, Blake Lively at first, and Giovanni Gallardo as the pitcher. Gonna be honest, I'm not a fan of Ricky Weeks hitting cleanup at all. It does not sit well with me.
No, at this point though, with the injuries to this team, you know, you have to do what you can to try to cement the power in the middle of the lineup. I would like him better at five, but again, in this situation, I mean, unless you're willing to put Braun at cleanup and sacrifice an at-bat for him,
you really don't have a choice. Maybe flip-flopping Weeks and Braun would be nice for, you know, this game. But even still, I mean, I don't see any other way around it, unfortunately. Weeks is just going to have to step up because there's no reason to really pitch to Braun at this point. You know, the way Weeks is hitting now, if there's an out, you know, and we know we're going to get to Weeks in that, you know, right behind Braun, there's no reason to really pitch to him.
You know, the one thing I honestly would consider doing if I was Ron Manicki, just based on how well they've been hitting, I would honestly flip Segura and Weeks. I would make Segura your cleanup hitter, just for the fact that he's been able to get on.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really what you want. You want someone when you have Braun hitting third, and you had Ramirez hitting fourth. I mean, there was no real escape from that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't really try to soften the blow to Braun, you know, because then Ramirez was going to have an excellent chance to drive him in. Weeks doesn't have that same chance, the way he's swinging the bat right now. But
because I mean, you figure Aoki gets on, you have Weeks batting second, you know, he might get out, big deal. Say Ryan Braun gets on, say he gets a single, that's runners on the corners. Then you have Segura up, who's been absolutely killing the ball. That
right.
spells a lot better than having Aoki, Segura, and Braun on, and then God knows Ricky Weeks hanging into a triple play.
Right. Oh, no, but I want to say that, in general, I don't have a problem with Segura hitting second.
No, I mean, I think it's fine, but I think in a moment, with Ramirez out of the lineup, I think you need people who are actually hitting to be third and fourth. So,
yeah.
Obviously, Aoki has solidified himself as the leadoff hitter, and there's no changing that at this point. I mean, I've always liked him there, and I'm glad that he's there. So that's something that they need to work with and just keep there.
Weeks might be nice at the two spot now, just to get him focused on moving guys over.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he hits a grounder, I mean, Aoki has the speed to probably beat it out to the listeners to throw it to first.
Right, and you know he's going to take – he's always going to have – what would appear to the casual observer to be an uncomfortable lead at first. So
that is true. So,
because he's tiny, he can just disappear in those base pads.
Yeah, I mean, it just, how many stolen bases did he have last year?
30. Was it 30?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think, putting Weeks at number two wouldn't, like you said, flip-flopping him wouldn't be him and Segura wouldn't be that bad of a deal, because if you can get Weeks focused on a more specific goal, like moving Aoki over, he's probably not going to be swinging out of his shoes as much to try to make something happen.
Yeah, and if he does, and something does happen, then hey, it, you know, that's a great surprise. But then you still have Braun and Segura to pitch to. So
exactly. Schaefer's in a good position this game to really make something happen. He's hopefully going to see some men on base and, you know, really get a good look today.
Yeah, I mean, having him start in center is really something that, you know, he's been dying to try to do. So
right, and he's a smart outfielder. I was actually very surprised by him, you know, not trying to make the flashy play. He knows his abilities really well, and he has a cannon on that arm. That is, it's going to be really interesting to see him play today.
Yeah, today's game begins at 3:15 Central Time, 4:15 Eastern Time. Of Loesch versus Wayne, not Loesch. Gallardo versus Wainwright. Not sure we're going to expect a whole lot out of this, considering Gallardo's 1-9 against the Cardinals with like a 6-something ERA, especially since they're playing in Busch Stadium. Wainwright's been pretty much a Brewer killer his entire career, so I mean, hey, it'd be nice if we got a win here, but I just don't know if it's in the cards for us, literally.
Right.
Last segment we want to get into today is our hitter and pitcher of the week. So, Colin, you want to start it off?
Yes. I am, in terms of hitter of the week, I'm very tempted to pick Aoki just because of, obviously he's doing tremendous. but I'm gonna buck the trend a little bit here. And I'm gonna go with the tandem catchers. I'm gonna go with Maldonado and Lucroy, just because, in terms of the way they started out the season, you know, coming off last week, they didn't have the best numbers, and I mean, have really come up big. Between the two of them, you have, 9 hits, 27 at bats, 3 runs scored, 2 doubles for Maldonado, 5 RBIs between the two of them, 3 walks for Lucroy, and only 4 strikeouts between the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, the catcher role is something that's very, very strenuous and very hard to come by, especially with a good offensive catcher. The Cardinals are blessed with that, with Yadier Molina.
We see tattoos.
I can't stand Yadier Molina either, but you know, there are very, very few catchers that come to mind that can hit for power and average. Joe Mauer, Miguel Montero, and AJ Pierzynski for a little bit. But you know, the catcher role isn't something really that you associate with a good average, something that both Lucroy and Maldonado have. That, you know, has been really, really something the Brewers, I don't want to say are lucky with, but have really fallen into.
Right.
My hitter of the week, I had to go with Aoki. I just, 15,
oh, yeah.
15 hits, leads the Brewers in hits. Just, he's finding every way to get on base. You go back to that Sunday game against the Diamondbacks, 4-for-6, 3 RBIs, 2 runs scored. He's only struck out 2 times. He's walked 5. He's already stolen 3 bases.
On his bobblehead day, he had a fantastic day.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to like about him? It's just, I mean, he even has a home run. I mean, just doing it all. I mean, obviously Segura's up there with him, but Aoki's just doing everything he can in his power, and he's really, really flourishing into the type of player that we were hoping he would.
Yeah, so. It's, I mean, and you don't get batting titles in the Japanese league if you aren't up to snuff, obviously. You don't get batting titles anywhere if you're not up to par. But I don't think anybody thought he would get this good in the major leagues after just one season where he wasn't even really playing every day.
No, he didn't fall into that role for quite a while.
Right.
Where he would be the everyday right fielder. He didn't fall into that. He was still platooning for quite some time.
Yeah, and so to come back, and he just, again, really disciplined approach, isn't afraid to go the other way if he has to. Great speed down the line. It's just, I mean, it's everything you want from a leadoff hitter, really.
Yeah, it's impressive because he finds ways to get on. He just creates ways just to get on the base path, and it's just incredible.
Right, and as that lineup gets more solidified throughout injury, and, you know, we can essentially set it up so that we have 2 tops of the order, you know, between 7, 8, 9, and 1, 2, 3, and he gets opportunities to move guys over, he's going to do even better, I think.
Incredibly better. If the rest of the lineup can figure out what to do, I mean, this Brewers team will look like the Brewers team of last year offensively. And Aoki's,
right.
Aoki's going to be in the middle of that. So, Colin, who is your pitcher of the week?
Pitcher of the week. You know, I hadn't really thought about this before then, just because pitching's been somewhat disappointing. I think I'd like to give it to Henderson. But props to Estrada on his first win, and Loesch for a great season, for a great start against the Cardinals. But yeah, I think it's got to go to Estrada, just because no one thought he was really going to do, you know. He didn't think he was going to be up to the same par that he was last season. And there comes a quality start with six strikeouts. So that's not a bad day.
No, because Estrada, it's just, he's kind of, I don't want to say this necessarily the wild card in the Brewers rotation, but he kind of is, because you don't know really what to expect out of him, because obviously last season was really the first season he started in multiple games. Obviously, he started in a few games, 2011, a few games here and there with the Nationals. But, no, I mean, 23 games started last year. Really efficient work. And even this year, he's doing really well. Had a bit of a rough go of things in his first outing, but his second outing against Chicago really came back down to earth. You know, I was really in between this two, giving it to him, but I had to go with Loesch.
Yeah.
I mean, Loesch did well in his first outing against the Diamondbacks, did really well in his outing against the Cardinals. And in both of those outings, he could have gone longer, especially in last night's game where he only pitched 78 pitches through seven innings. That's really efficient work.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know how long the Loesch train is going to continue to be this good, but I'm not complaining at the moment. And if it continues on like this, I mean, hey, there's something positive. But, no, I've been really impressed with both Loesch and with Estrada, definitely, from the rotation.
Yeah, it makes a nice little 1-2-3 there, if Gallardo can get together. And really, he's not too far off track, Gallardo, in terms of really putting together some nice work. And he generally doesn't get up to form until, you know, May or June even. But he's going to hang in there every time. So once he, you know, starts to throw it back together, it's going to be really nice to watch.
Yeah, maybe they're going to throw a perfect game today in the same way that I almost predicted Yu Darvish would for me.
And I hope you're right, because I'm not playing you this week.
And it would be a win if the Brewers can get more than two hits.
Exactly. There you go.
All right, guys. Yeah, so today obviously was a Saturday podcast, because life happens. But we'll try to be with you guys next Thursday on our regular scheduled days. But if not, you know, like I said, life happens.
Right.
So thank you guys for listening, and stay tuned for next week.
Thank you.